Welcome to Winning Mood, short, sharp, strongest super coach and punting advice for the NRL week ahead. I'm Jacob Wynn from the Tripod. He's Tim Moody, the 2021 super coach champion, top 100 out of over 100,000 people in 2022. Why are you grimacing, Tim? Is that not the case, or are you getting nervous
because it's old news? No, I'm out of the top 100 now, my man.
I'm confused. Oh, last time we chatted, you were top 100, but there has been played since then.
I believe I was ranked like 63rd or something like that. Yeah, something like that. Prior to that, I dropped 54 ranks. I can't do the math. I'm now 117. Yeah, so it's not too shabby.
As I said last time, when you are at the absolute pointy end, if you're not having an elite scoring round, you know, other people have got good teams, so you're still in striking
distance. It's my second red arrows of the year. So it's
pretty good.
Happen eventually, you know what I mean? You can't keep getting green arrows every week. No. I mean, it was easy for me to do it.
That's pretty good. You've only dropped back
because I started so bad.
No, but mate, you're in great position. You're killing it, and you're sharing information with us, and you're still on a high, regardless of the fact your team might have had a little dip, because your Blues got a great result over in Perth, and it was a great result for followers of the Tripod and Winning Mood, because we did a 3 out of 4 ain't bad for rep round with the 3 Pacific tests on the Saturday and culminating in Origin 2, and we did pick 3 out of 4 try scorers, with To'o getting over at the end of the first half, a pivotal try for New South Wales in the context of the game. There was a sin bin a moment earlier, and that really broke Queensland's backs, but it did cash at $3.75, which is a pretty nice one for us.
Yeah, it was our best price we've had all year. You were feeling a bit more confident this round with chucking a 3 out of 4, especially when we've been failing at some of the 2 out of 3s and 2 out of 4s even. So that was really nice to get that one up. And I think, look, we're finding a little bit of form. I think the week prior to that, we might have got a win as well. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I think we did.
We won. Can't remember the players, but we won it even before the third leg kicked off. So, yeah, we have hit a little bit of form with that. But so have your Blues, mate. You must be excited because it's a majority of the team are Panthers as well. So any takeaways from the performance and how confident are you for the decider?
Yeah, first of all, it is really nice to see so many Panthers in there being rewarded for their hard work and for their, you know, consistent performances and representing the area so much as well, I guess, which is fantastic. I don't know how confident I am. You know, there's a lot of moving pieces still. We've got to go up to Suncorp, which is a, you know, it seems like, you know, people from the underworld trying to take on people from heaven or something like that. It's too hard, man. You know, it seems scary. You're going to have people throwing stuff at our bus. But look, we're going to turn out there. We're going to have war mentality. It's just going to be a weird one. Because we kind of smashed yours, I feel like there was fair reason for it. Obviously, you know, you've lost a player. I do feel the fact that we smashed you guys are going to come out with a bit of an attitude and be hungry and almost like how we did this game. So I'm feeling like the tables might turn a bit and we're really going to have to be on our game and be as up for it as we were.
I tend to agree, mate. Like, people shouldn't just assume that the same game is just going to carry on. It's going to be that way. Even look at last year. You flogged Queensland in game 1 and 2. Slightly different story when you go into a dead rubber, but Queensland did turn the tables. In 2020, New South Wales won very convincingly in game 2. Queensland still turned it around and won a home decider. And even in 2019, where Queensland won game 1, New South Wales flogged Queensland in Perth, which sounds familiar. The decider, which you did win in the final minute on that Tedesco try, was obviously a lot closer. So it's not a matter of one game kind of bleeds into the next, and it is going to be a tough task. I think the stat is New South Wales have won 2 of 15 Suncorp deciders. So it's a happy hunting ground for the Queenslanders. And saying that, the Blues are the favourites. They are the stronger side, I think. And we did tip on our rep round pod Nathan Cleary for the Wally Lewis medal, player of the series at 11s. He's now 50-50 to take that out. He had an unbelievable performance on Sunday. And, you know, it's scary from a Queensland perspective, looking across and seeing him leading the opponents. We should talk more NRL, mate, now, because obviously you've had a week off to refresh. But what moves were you making ahead of round 16? I'm sure you're going to remind us that next week, half the sides are on a bye.
Yeah, so next week is our final bye round, where we've only got four games and only eight teams playing. So, yeah, it's pretty sort of, if you're playing overall, you've kind of got blinkers on and focusing on players that are playing in round 17, Sharks, Storm, Knights, Bunnies, Tigers, Eels, Broncos, and the Dragons. Cheeky people picked up Brian To'o for last round, for round 15. And that was a great purchase, you know. Like, some of the people who are still playing overall took their blinkers off and was able to see he had a low BE. He was at a juicy price, very, very low price. Had a great game, a great matchup against the Warriors. Yeah, he's not going to play round 17. Yeah, he might not back up, but he probably will after round 17. But look, I'm a bit jealous I didn't get on that one, to be fair. I feel like I really dropped the ball on that one. So let's move on.
I'll put up what your team basically is. You may have tinkered with this. It's a few days old, but there hasn't been a round.
There has. There's been one round since this. Yeah. So
changed it much?
Only one piece of the puzzle has changed. So you're still on my round 14 side, I should say. But for round 15, I traded out. It's a big one, guys. I traded out Selwyn Cobbo, my baby boy. The reason I was doing it is because of the origin, because he's got some really tough matchups and because he's a really, really healthy price of 630K. Look, as much as I love him, he's passing the eye test. I don't think he's a necessary sell. I just really wanted to get Ronaldo Mulitalo. And he seemed like the way for me to do it. I don't know how I feel about it still, because Ronaldo Mulitalo stunk it up last week when I traded him in. But I'm hoping there's some decent scores in him going forward, especially in round 7, which is the reason I've brought him in. So I'm sort of playing for that sort of – it's tough, man. Like this, now that I'm so going forward, I'm struggling even more to work out who do I sell. There's not a great amount of players that I really want to bring in that are playing for round 17. There's some that I'm kind of keen on. There's some that I'm very hot on. I need to get Isaiah Papali'i into my side. I probably should be doing that this week, but I think I might wait till next week, just because if he doesn't score about 117 points, I think it is, he'll go down a little bit in price, and because he's right on 700K at the moment, I mean, I'll get him for even 699, you know, at worst case scenario, probably, which is good for my head. I like getting that little six price rather than the seven. It makes me feel like I've really got the big discount. But also, too, I can't decide who I would sell for him this week, and I'm just tossing up. It's the guys that I'm sort of tossing up is Tago in my second row. Also, I'm thinking about Angus Crichton and Max King, but every time I lean towards one of these guys as being the guy I'm going to sell, I find about five reasons why I should hold on to them. So I'm just wanting to wait another week, and hopefully something just makes its mind up for me where, you know, I'd hate for it to happen, but, you know, one of my players get injured or suspended or whatever, maybe someone stomps in their shoes and they get in trouble. I'm not too sure. Something that, yeah, that where it's out of my control and I just have to act on it. But I'm really unsure, man. It's tough because a lot of the players that I do have a value are either making money or keepers. So Cody Walker, I'm prepared to get rid of him, but not before round 17. He plays around 17 by, so I've kind of got to just hold on to him. Also, to Karaz, he looks like he could be a sell because he's a value now. He's jumped up to 400K, but minus 40 BE. So he's going to keep going up in price, and there's no point me rushing him out yet, you know what I mean? Even if I don't want to play him, he's still going to make money, and I kind of need to make money because I missed out on MAM. Another thing that's still in my head is Grant Anderson, I was about to say Jared Anderson. Grant Anderson from the Melbourne Storm. Looks like he's got the nod over Laremia, even if Pappenhausen comes into the side. So it looks like he's going to hold his spot from word on the street. But I don't know who I would sell for him. It's just, I just couldn't do it yet. And if I was going to sell one of these guys, it's probably for someone more of a keeper. So although I want to make that money and also free up cash and downgrade to him, it's just getting harder and harder as the week goes on to make these big decisions. And I've still, I can't really lean towards it. I don't really have the guy. I'm tinkering with the idea of selling Munster, perhaps, if he doesn't play. Stags, I think, is going to play 17 for me, Peter. So I think that's a nice round 17 buy coverage that I'll get because I'm very low on buy round 17 numbers. So there's so much to factor in. I want to save trades and not go too hard. The people I bring in, I want to make sure that they're keepers and would score well or make me a lot of money. So that's where I'm at with that Jared Anderson. Jared Anderson. What's his name, buddy? Grant Anderson.
Is it Grant Anderson?
Yeah, Grant Anderson. Yeah. Let's call him Neo, Mr. Anderson. it's a really headache. I think a lot of super coaches, especially a lot of people I've been on podcasts with, are really scratching their head this week and just don't know what to do.
I think it's harder when you have a really good team. Like your team, like I'm saying, you're in the top 0.1%. Your team can't be that far off the mark. So therefore, there can't be that many players that you are willing to part with. So I think your strategy sounds pretty sound. Everything you're saying, you would not do any short-sighted pickups. Anyone you're picking up has got to be someone you think you get production for the rest of the year because otherwise it's a waste of a trade. But you wouldn't make any moves for someone that can't contribute for you next week because those buy rounds are those real separators where more players available, you can really distinguish against people that didn't have the trades. And then, of course, even if you love everyone you've got, the fact of the matter is there will be attrition, there will be players out, injured, suspension, as you said. So you want to have those moves up your sleeve. My question is, it's you don't want to just do really well. You're in a position where it's possible to win it. So is your, and I don't want you to give anything away, so I'm going to put you on the spot here. But like, does your mind think, what's my kind of wild card? What's my differentiator? Or you guys talk about a pod. So what's your move going to be? Like a bit bold. It's something that wouldn't be the safest. But do you have a player or two in mind that you would go that you think other people in the top 100 wouldn't take that could potentially be, you know, a difference maker in winning it all?
Like honestly speaking, not just yet at my fingertips, but I'm not the biggest pod hunter. Out of a lot of the guys I do podcasts with, there's plenty of them that are sniffing out pods and who's doing percentage. I kind of don't mind staying with the pack and you know, if you've got the best guys, you're generally going to go well. The things that differentiate you, even if you've all got pretty much a similar side, that's why I don't mind giving away too much, is getting your bench right every week, rotating it, not always playing the same bench, but maybe go, oh, this guy's got a better matchup. And even though this guy's worth 500K, I might rest him this week because he's playing the Panthers or he's playing the Storm. So just little things like that. If you get a few of those right more often than you get wrong, and your captains. I haven't nailed the captains this year. I think if I had nailed them a bit more, I'd probably be a bit higher up, but it's been a tough year to sort of nail. It's been a bit all over the place. Speaking of captains, Cleary looks like a pretty safe option at this point for the rest of the year, but there's probably some rounds where you might want to go against him. You could probably VC him this week if you want to, just hedge your bets and just in case it doesn't go big, but if you don't want to cop an auto emergency, and you have to risk dumping a quality player and not having them play for your side this week, you could just straight captain him. I'm on the fence about what it, I'm sort of more of the guy that likes to hedge his bets rather than go all in.
You know what, mate? I would say I wouldn't be shocked if Nathan Cleary sits out this week, though, because I think they're going to win the game regardless. There you go, Dan. He's got the sunnies on.
A two for deal.
Villiarmi. I would not be shocked if Nathan Cleary sits out just because I think it would be an absolute disaster for your state if he was to pick up an injury. Yeah. And just to, not that he needs the rest, But just because he's playing, he hasn't had a rest yet this season. He's obviously involved in all three grueling Origin games, and it would freshen him up for the decider.
What percentage do you think that is in your mind? Well, doesn't have to be right.
5 or 10% chance.
Okay, so you don't want to put a case of beer on it.
No, I wouldn't say 50-50. I would say it's more likely he plays, but I think
he wants Penrith
rested
M
players last year, right? And they won the comp. So, you make a good point there about the Daly M, something he hasn't won.
He wants
won
it,
yet.
Man. It's his.
Mm.
It's his. But then again, sniffing at it. You've got
I think
Ben
he wants
Hunter.
The Wally Lewis medal even more because
he wants it all, mate.
He's racking up awards. Do we have a really quick green light?
Look, I don't have a great, because obviously I've explained my conundrums, but I will give you a pretty good red light than someone I'm comfortable to say, look, I would get off this guy, which is Payne Haas. I got off Payne Haas after his first shoulder injury, and I thought, oh, maybe I can get rid of him because it might be a bit of an awkward thing for him to carry. It might, you know, get reduced minutes and he might not play, or he might just ruin it, you know, real early in the game and score me bugger all. So I just got rid of him, and then he got a second shoulder injury, and now he's got the leg. So three things. I know he's a tough bloke. He can go pretty hard. The Broncos need him. They probably just jab him all over his body, give him the ultra jab or something, and needle him up. But week after week, I don't know how sustainable he is. I'd part with him. Although he's not a great amount of money, he's only 500K. If you can hold him, hold him. Like, you don't need to sell him. But if you're someone like me that you're scratching, who do I sell? I'm desperate for someone to sell. If he was in my side with three injuries, I'd tell him I was happy to do it with the one. So it's not that he's not a good player. He's a great keeper. But I don't think he's going to hurt you not having him. He'll you know, get you 50, 60, 70, 80.
Broncos play next week. You still would sell this week? Oh, because if he's healthy, he's playing Origin anyway.
Origin, yeah.
Yes, right. And then,
so,
you know,
yeah, I could get around getting rid of him.
In Origin too. Any other players? Otherwise, we're going to tell people how to wear it.
For red whites, not really. I feel like there's a lot of holds. Everyone seems like they're sort of making money. Green light, that Anderson guy looks like a good thing. If you need to make the money and you've got someone you're prepared to sell, there's plenty of people that have got like one or two dud guys that are sort of mid-rangey price in their center wings. I've just managed to sort of target that and stack that up, so I don't know what to do. But you could definitely bring him in to free up cash to generate more cash that he grows when you're going to want to sell him on afterwards. He's a good thing, I'd say. Could be like not as good as Carras in money generation and point scoring, but he's playing for the Storm, so could be anything.
Well, we have got, speaking of could be anything, our 2 of 3, we're going to release tomorrow. So you've got to follow us on social media. It could be anything because we haven't cooked it up yet. You're a bit busy today, but I've come out with our best bets on the pod, which I'll discuss in the final minute of this show. So I'm sure we'll lean into those, as well as the players you think are going to succeed. We'll come up with three, as long as two score.
Didn't want to rush it.
Available on Top Sport.
We're a bit busy. Didn't want to rush it. Just put out some names together. We want to give you names that we genuinely think will score. So I'm going to get to the drawing board before bed this evening. Come up with the guys, and hopefully we can bring some magic for you again.
That's it. Into the lab, and we'll find some winners, hopefully. If you want to win a jersey, comment the last try scorer in Raiders Dragons, which is on Sunday, and the minute you think they'll score as the tiebreaker. And I will also just share with you guys our two favorite plays of the round are the Cronulla Sharks. Line, you can still lay -8. And I think they're going to win well against the Bulldogs. So you mentioned picking up Mulitalo, so he might have a day out Saturday afternoon against the Doggies. And we're taking the Warriors, which people might be nervous about, but you've got to understand this is their first game in New Zealand in, I think, you know, well over 2 years, and over something like 60 games they've been in Australia away from home. And I think the emotion and the energy in that crowd, they're going to thrive off it. And the poor old West Tigers just unlucky enough to draw this game, and I don't think they're going to be able to hang with them. So, again, that may suit some New Zealand players having success in your super coach. We laid the -3.5, which has already moved on the back of our pod half an hour ago. I would still play them with a line -6. And that's going to do it, guys. So thanks for tuning in. If you're punting, do it responsibly. Good luck. hit us up with comments, got any questions, and we hope we put you in a winning mood.